due to a new law that recently went into effect in Quebec, Canada. Patients can now undergo physician-assisted suicide without giving their final consent. The law allows patients to quote-unquote consent in an advance request should they be diagnosed with a serious incurable disease like dementia. If those conditions are met, a physician can take their life without their final approval. Hello, this is Sonia Hines and welcome to Spotlight. Today my guest is Brad Mattis and he is the co-founder and president of Life Issues Institute, and he's here today to talk about euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide. Welcome, Brad.
Thank you, Sonia.
Brad, to clarify, share the difference with us between euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide.
It's just semantics in some ways. The goal is the same, and that's to kill the patient, not heal the patient. With physician-assisted suicide, the so-called physician can write a prescription for poison to kill them, but then the patient would have to take those medicines, usually in pill form themselves. Nausea and stuff can really complicate that, because if they take that poison and it's toxic, of course, and they vomit it up, then they're in a pickle, I guess. Euthanasia, generally that term is that the so-called physician will administer the poison either in the IV or in shots or in other horrific ways to end the patient's life. Most recently, Sonia, they have come up with this futuristic looking pod, and once you get in there, then you put in a gas that takes the oxygen out, and so they are desperately trying to breathe in oxygen, and there is none. And when they did an experiment on an unnamed American woman, it looked like that she had been strangled because of the restraint in there. She had been so desperate to try to get air. It was an absolutely horrific death, and we're hearing more and more how this so-called good death is anything but.
Now, Brad, you know, earlier I mentioned that the legalization of physician-assisted suicide took place in Quebec. Are these practices now considered legal in the United States?
They haven't gone that far yet that we're aware of. But to keep on top of this, Sonia, is we just recently developed a global map that's an interactive map, and it shows the 14 nations that have legalized euthanasia to some degree. And each one shows a timeline of when they initially passed the legislation and what has changed along the way to its current status. For instance, the Netherlands expressly give the right to euthanize infants. In Switzerland, elderly patients can end their lives if they're just tired of living. They'll tell you that, oh, it's only going to be for terminal patients who have less than 6 months to live. But any physician worth their salt, works in this field, end-of-life care, will tell you it's nearly impossible to determine when a patient will die with a terminal diagnosis. And that is just window dressing, Sonia. It's just a way to get their foot in the door. And some have even admitted out loud their goal is to get rid of those guidelines for patients, those guardrails to protect them. And this map shows and demonstrates so clearly how they're all doing just that very evil thing.
So this is a very dangerous, slippery slope. Where do you see this going, Brad?
Well, it's going to the point where nobody's going to be safe. And they made the mistake in Canada of saying it was just going to put vulnerable patients at risk, those who have chronic diseases. But in reality, it will affect everyone because they keep expanding the guidelines for that. In California, for instance, last year, Sonia, they tried to redefine a terminal illness to something that is just intolerable, ongoing illness. Well, I suffer from chronic pain, have for 20 years. I would qualify for euthanasia in California. Instead of treating the problem, instead of counseling and encouragement when patients need it, they just want to simply end their lives.
So, Brad, how can we protect ourselves?
Well, you can first express to the person that you trust, tell them what your wishes are should you become incapacitated. Let them know that withholding food and water is one of the ways in which they kill patients who are biologically tenacious and won't die. And so specify to your trusted loved one that you do not want to die in excruciating dehydration and starvation. Let them know, and then that person can be your advocate. And there are ways in which to give them legal protections. Each state is different. I believe on our website at lifeissues.org, we have information where you can access that information on what to do and what is legally binding in your particular state. Be aware, be educated. Again, lifeissues.org has a lot of information on end-of-life issues that will be very helpful. The Terry Schiavo Life and Hope Network, that I was privileged to serve as a chairman of the board there, has lots of information. You can go there for resources, free resources. They're available. Just seek them out. And then, as I said, make sure those around you know your wishes.
Well, again, my guest is Brad Mattis, the co-founder and president of Life Issues Institute. Brad, thanks for coming on and sharing with us about euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide. Thank you for making us aware of this practice.
Thank you for having me.
This is Sonia Hines with Spotlight. Thank you for listening.
Spotlight, a public affairs program of the Mars Hill Network. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the Mars Hill staff, management, or board of directors. Inquiries and suggestions are welcome. Email them to spotlight@marshillnetwork.org or regular mail to Spotlight in care of Mars Hill Network, 4044 Mackays Road, that's spelled M-A-K-Y-E-S, 13215.